Under the Scope.
Hey everybody, Jared, that's him, and Shane, that's me. We are back with another Scope movie review. Jared's got a special red wristband that can mean only one thing, Jared.
We saw the movie Sputnik.
I thought I was going to say we were going to a foam rave.
Ah, very close.
And it was great. No, it's this is a big one, Jared.
Uh-huh.
We saw a sneak preview, a very early sneak preview for the Marvel film Captain America - Civil War?
Colon.
This is the third Captain America film.
If you could somehow figure out punctuation to superimpose the two titles, that's what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about 3 weeks ahead of schedule on this one, Jared.
We are
kicking off the summer movie season in April.
This isn't in theaters until May 6th.
Coveted ticket, Jared. Everyone's jealous.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what they said on Facebook. That's what they said on Twitter.
But we were quick on the draw, and passes were secured, and
now we're bringing this review to you.
Yeah.
So, Jared, like I said, the third Captain America film, it kind picks off.
How many overall? Is it like the 14th overall Marvel film?
Oh my god, has it been that many?
I think it is.
Three Iron Man, three Captain America, two Avengers.
You've got a couple Thors in there.
Two Thors.
You've got an Incredible Hulk. You've got an Ant-Man. You've got a Guardians of the Galaxy.
So that's 13, and that's 13 films?
13 or 14, somewhere in there.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, does this one pay off? does it? I don't know. We'll find out. this picks up on some of the threads left in the second Captain America film.
Yes.
Captain America, the
Winter Soldier. Also picks up on threads left over from Age of Ultron.
Yes.
The Avengers, Age of Ultron.
And it picks up on threads from Ant-Man.
Indeed. It's sort of the culmination of events to this point.
Is this the end of Phase 3? Is that what this is considered?
I think this is the start of Phase 3.
Or the start of Phase 3. Well,
I think
boy.
So. I think Ant-Man was the end of Phase 2, I believe.
Okay.
But whatever. And it just keeps rolling.
There's phases. That's what we're getting at. Jared, tell people who starred in this film, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people in
this. Why don't we focus on the new faces? The new faces are the important ones, because all your other past heroes, you know them already. Mm-hmm. Our new faces this time around, we've got Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, a.k.a. Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Jinx. Well, who else is new? That might be the only real
the
new
Hobbit.
Ones. Martin Freeman plays some bureaucrat dude.
In a way overhyped role for people being very excited for him to be in it.
Special agent dude.
Maybe he'll be in other films, but this one seemed a little weak.
I don't know. We've got the return of General Thunderbolt Ross, this time Secretary of Defense or State. Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. He's a badass.
We haven't really seen him since Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Who else? I don't know. Agent 13, she's back.
What's her name? Sharon Rogers.
Not yet.
Maybe.
But sparks are flying.
And of course, we've got Iron Man, Captain America, Hawkeye, Black Widow.
The whole gang!
Ant-Man.
Pretty much.
Falcon.
Pretty much everyone
Scarlet
except
Witch,
for
Vision, Hulk, Thor.
Hulk and Thor.
And Coulson and,
Coulson's
assistant, what's her face, from How I Met Your Mother. Not
Maria
there.
Hill.
Maria Hill. Yes. Not there.
Or there's no... Nick Fury.
Nick
either.
Fury. So, spoilers, they're not there.
Whatever. So I don't think anyone expected them to be.
No.
So,
Jared, a quick plot. I mean, you can do the plot in a pretty broad stroke without spoiling a lot of stuff. I mean,
So we're in the aftermath of several big to-dos on planet Earth dealing with the Avengers. There's been a lot of destruction. There's been some collateral damage. And there's been some casualties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of come to a head, and the nations of the world have decided that the Avengers really shouldn't be allowed to operate under their own power.
Yep. Their own jurisdiction.
Yeah, doing whatever they want. They want to sort of bring them under the umbrella of the United Nations. And so they've drafted this thing called the Sokovia Accords. Sokovia, of course, being the fictional nation that was severely damaged in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And this... The idea is that the Avengers will be placed under UN control, a special committee or whatever is going to control them, and they will deem when it's necessary to send Avengers in, because Avengers have just been sort of traipsing around the world doing whatever they want to do, taking care of business wherever they feel like it. And I would say some of the sovereign nations are getting a little butthurt about it. So
butthurt's bad.
Yeah.
You've also got the secondary plot of Bucky Barnes.
He's
AKA
back.
A.K.A. the Winter Soldier.
He sort of ran away and was missing after the Winter Soldier. And as it was always, we sort of left Captain and Falcon at that point. They were going to go find him. Well, they've continued to do that, so obviously. That's a thread that goes on.
But we find out that some of the mischief might be because of him.
Yes.
Which is yet one of the many things that sort of split these superheroes into two separate teams.
Mm-hmm.
Some believe that they should be under the control of the United Nations, like Team Iron Man.
Yep.
Others believe, like Team Captain America, that
they need to be able to be nimble and be able to react wherever they think that they need to.
And that maybe...
Because lives are at stake,
damn
it.
Maybe the United Nations won't agree with their mission. Maybe there's corruption within there. The only people that you can trust...
Can't trust the politics.
...are yourself, your own hand, Jared. Hmm. And so there we go. We've got
compelling arguments on both sides.
Exactly.
Honestly.
We've got Bucky, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier, causing mischief. You've got the introduction of Black Panther, who is brought in... because of an unfortunate accident, and he's got business to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a lot of superheroes fighting.
Yes.
Yes. And maybe a super secret villain who is pulling the threads to make them all fight. You never know.
Indeed.
So
that would be the newcomer Daniel Brühl.
Ooh, very good. Do I know him from anything?
Don't know.
Hmm.
Probably not. He's been in a few things here and there.
He's a shifty one.
He is shifty.
He was at the end. Was in the end of Captain America: Winter Soldier, I believe, or was he in Age of Ultron? That guy has popped up somewhere in one of the credits or something.
Maybe
he was. I think he was at the end of Age of Ultron.
That would make sense because he sort of tied into that.
Yes. So here we go, Jared. We saw this film.
We did.
It was in a smaller theater, not even completely full.
Shocking. We thought it would be way oversold, but nope.
And
I think everyone got in.
Everybody did get in. There was rows open, actually.
Surprising.
Crowd a bit subdued, I feel, for this film.
Think so?
I think it was. Or maybe
they came alive at certain moments.
Or maybe the film started a little slow.
That could be it.
So that, I think, is where we will start.
Okay.
There's a lot of setup to get all of the appropriate parties in the same place, in the same headspace, to set them up to battle. It's essentially putting the chessboard pieces on every square. Yeah.
After a an opening scene of action and adventure that is just a nice action set piece, but is also in kind of sets the stage for where things are headed.
Yeah.
It sort of calms down and really gets into more of the politics of it.
Sure.
And it's a little slow. The first first act, maybe first half of the film is a little slow. It's not boring per se, but there isn't a lot of superheroics, but I think the back half of the film probably makes up for that.
Yeah, it's stacked and packed back there.
Definitely.
The thing about Captain America films in general, or at least the second one, which sort of set the proper tone for a Captain America film, is it's not totally focused on the, otherworldly super human heroics that you would see in the Avengers films. You would see in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And the probably forthcoming Doctor Strange is going to deal more with that. This is more rooted in reality.
Yes. I mean the second one was definitely a spy thriller.
Yep.
This one has elements of that, maybe not quite so so focused as the second. I mean, this is definitely a little bit of that, a lot of bit of let's get all these superheroes together and watch them beat the piss out of each other and deal with morals and ethics.
They really seem to be setting up the Captain America films, though, as the platform where they kind of deal with the politics of the world that they're creating a little bit more. Not, not to the point where it's boring, necessarily, but, that's where the governments are more involved and, political motivations come to the forefront, whereas other films tend to be more focused on it's a caper or whatever else they're focused on.
Yep.
Captain America, just by his nature, is going to be more involved in the politics.
Yes, maybe a little less broad stroke compared to some of the other films.
Yeah,
which is fine, but
they still managed to pack an awful lot of characters in there.
Yes, there's a lot going on. So you've got the slower part. But then...
Yeah, where it's sort of like you're trying... Everyone's sort of kind of positioning themselves on which side they're going to end up on.
Yes.
And inevitably, things go like this.
Mm-hmm. So then you've got a lot of interesting things going on. You have all these heroes going at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what I liked about it was is that every hero seemed to have their own arc, even if it was small.
Yeah.
You mean everybody, you know, it wasn't just throw this person out there and let them do whatever. It was, you know, everybody had a reason for being there. If you want to start drawing comparisons to Batman versus Superman, which there's a lot of similarities in terms of this over
heroes fighting. I mean, the big dogs
heroes
gnashing it out.
Heroes fighting, and what happens if heroes go unchecked?
Yeah.
What is the repercussion?
There are some similar, totally
different movies, but very similar themes. Superman, Batman. You know, you'd have just things that were dropped in there for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
You have heroes show up that are there, and then they're gone. There's no real connection to it. This film, a lot different. You know, I think everybody there felt like they needed to be there.
It's definitely better crafted, and there are kind of layers on layers going on here. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, everything pretty much works and makes sense.
Yeah.
And part of it is the fact that, you know, we're 13, 14 films in, and we don't have to lay a lot of groundwork.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Iron Man's deal. We know most of these characters we've met already.
Yep.
We kind of know their deal.
We've seen their path.
We don't, you know, the shorthand's already there, so we can just kind of hit the ground running, which is, why Marvel has such a distinct advantage right now.
Yes. Let's talk about the characteristic Marvel humor in films.
Yes.
And that's something that they definitely made a centerpiece of the Avengers film. They made this a centerpiece of the Guardians of the Galaxy film. It's never really been as much of a key factor for the Captain America films.
No, he's pretty much straight ahead. He's not going to crack wise.
And as we talk about the film being slow to start, the humor was also slow to start, not really there.
Yeah.
Once you kind of brought in a few characters, and we'll get to that in a second, they amped it up a little bit, and I think that it gave life to the film.
Agreed.
And I think it was needed. It sort of took out the series. You just can't have the heroes there if they're not cracking wise, as you would say. I mean, that's what they're there for. You have to have a little bit of that, even within this serious film dealing with serious issues.
You can't take it too serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still superheroes.
Yes. So let's talk about the two main funny guys. That will be Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, mm-hmm. and what's-his-face as Spider-Man.
Tom Holland.
What a fantastic take on Spider-Man. I mean, this is the definitive...
It's great.
This is the definitive take. I mean, you've got elements of the previous two Spider-Men in here.
Yeah.
But this guy is younger.
Yep.
It really plays up the relationship between Spider-Man and Iron Man, which is a cornerstone of the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, which is something you did not see in any of these other films.
Another point to Marvel. Fantastic work getting Spider-Man back into your world.
And it makes sense because, of course, Iron Man is going to know what Spider-Man is up to.
Well, yeah, he's always looking out for super smart kids.
This kid is not going to be able to go do what he wants to do without being noticed.
Right.
It's sort
of the Avengers business to pay attention to this kind of stuff.
So I really liked how they did that. I liked how Spider-Man's origin was sort of told but not told in a conversation with Tony.
Right.
We didn't need to see it because we know it, but it was mentioned. It was
established that he's fairly new to this, but he's had his abilities for a little while now. So.
Yes. And then you've got Ant-Man coming in, Paul mm-hmm. Rudd, who is fantastic in this film for the short time that he is in it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the humor of Ant-Man, the standalone film, it's just immediately just transferred into this, and it works very, very well, and it makes me excited to see Ant-Man in this universe.
Yeah.
He's like a PG version of Deadpool.
Yeah, he really is. He's Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd, which is great. Just in itself is great, mm-hmm. but he's also a character who's both new to this game, and he's also sort of able to comment on the thing.
I mean,
just the way he interacts with Captain America.
Would you love to see
amazing.
A Paul Rudd or a Captain America Ant-Man buddy pick?
Oh, sure.
Or even Ant-Man and Spidey go out in the town. I mean,
why not?
A lot of interesting things that can happen here. So I really love that.
I think that's the ability that having Paul Rudd as Scott Lang brings to it versus if you had Hank Pym, who just really isn't as funny of a character.
Yeah, he's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see, after seeing this film, what happens with the standalone Spider-Man film.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel hopeful that...
As long as they fix that damn logo.
Yes. That we can see what they do with this character and make sure that they keep bringing in other Marvel characters like they said they would into his universe.
You know,
as long as it is needed.
As long as that love and Marvel touch is there,
yep.
Even though it's Sony that's putting it out, you know, it should be good. And Tom Holland has proved that he can carry the role just fine. So
yes.
I'm not worried about
that. He was very good, and I think that people are going to really like him.
I agree.
Anything else we want to talk about on this film, Jared? Special effects? Solid all the way around?
There's a couple suspect shots here.
Tell
and
me
there,
one.
But, I don't know, just some of the speed-related stuff, and anytime that you know it's a digital character that's flipping around doing stuff,
sure.
It doesn't always work, but at this point, it's like, whatever. Yeah. It's a superhero movie. I'm willing to cut it some slack. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't take me out of it.
It's awfully close.
Yeah.
Awfully close. So, solid all the way around in terms of special effects, sound, design, music, great.
Can we talk about craft services for a second?
I hear that the lunch buffet table,
top-notch.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Top-notch.
Always. Plenty of things to help with your various dietary restrictions. As you know, those Hollywood types, they've always got something going on.
Absolutely. And a pretty good Stan Lee appearance. Maybe not as good as Deadpool, but definitely a top three appearance,
right.
I think.
I think it's, how do they... He's shown up an awful lot in all of these interconnected Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, is it the same guy? Is it the same guy? Or is it just a lot of guys who look like him in this world?
Don't overthink it.
Okay.
But what I do want you to overthink is a score. So we'll be back with a Scope score.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars. It's talked about it.
It's like a B+, A-.
Yes.
I think it gets docked some points because I think the first half is a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, but definitely you're kind of like, let's go, let's get some punching going. Let's pick it up a little bit.
And obviously setting up for big events to come with Infinity War.
Yeah. Although they didn't spend too much time on it.
No.
There was some, it's mostly in Vision, sort of.
A tip of the hat, Jared.
Vision sort of wondering, like, what the deal is with this little jobby up here.
I think we'll find out in upcoming movies.
You think so?
I think we will.
Okay. Brought to us by the Russo brothers, who directed this fine film, so.
And I think that they are great, and they will do a terrific job.
They've proved that they can handle a large ensemble, and the ensembles are only getting bigger from here.
I mean, I think that what they've put up here is as good as what Joss Whedon did.
Oh, absolutely.
It's in the same ballpark. Pacing issues aside, very, very good. And
They just had a lot of stuff to get through to kind of get us to the point where we needed to be.
They should be applauded.
Yeah.
Should be applauded.
I mean, this could have been really, really heavy and convoluted and strange, not made any sense, and I think they did a pretty good job.
I agree.
Keeping it tight.
Jared, let's wrap this up, but please, before we go,
tell
everybody how they can interact with this particular Vidya and our podcast in general.
You can like, comment, and subscribe down below, and if you're listening to the podcast, you've done everything you need to do. Good job.
I like your positivity. So that was Captain America Civil War, guys. Check it out. A lot of summer movies to come. I always say that. I think this is where we start to make the money.
We're really early, though.
I know. A lot to come, Jared. A lot to come. So for Jared, I am Shane. This has been The Scope. Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying adios. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.